Lake Effect Weekend continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. For the past few weeks, Radio Chipstone contributor Jennifer Fields has been keeping us abreast of a community project focused on saving a home in Madison. The home belonged to artist Sid Boyum, and it fell into disrepair after his death.
In a conversation with Brian Standing, president of the Friends of Sid Boyum, Fields catches us up on the current state of the house and the effort to save it and its contents.
We're in the process of pulling out the original art from the building. We want to get it out of this environment where it's going to deteriorate more. We don't want to leave it there for another winter. So we're working with a consultant, Paul Davis Restoration, and we're in the process of packing things up in the truck over here where there will be hauled to Paul Davis's facility. It will be in a climate-controlled environment. We're documenting things as we go. We've been focusing on the two-dimensional art and some of the sculpture and trying to get it out of the house just to keep it safe.
So, Brian, one of the things when I do this, I'm normally inside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't we in this house right now?
Well, the house has been uninhabited since at least 2001. There's a lot of mold issues inside. We're, you know, wearing dust masks when we go in and rubber gloves. You know, and trying to be very careful of that because we want to protect people's health. Everyone here is a volunteer, so we, you know, certainly don't want to put their health at risk. There's a lot of mold inside. There's holes in the roof, so animals have gotten in. What we're trying to do is pull everything out to the front yard where we have better ventilation and look through things here and sort it out and pack it rather than and spend as little time inside the building as we possibly can.
If there's a concern about mold,
mm-hmm.
and there's concern about animals and there's holes in the roof, I can see that there's plants growing in the gutters,
yep.
and I can just see that the house is in general disrepair.
That's correct.
Well, how realistic is it that the house itself can be saved?
Well, we don't know that yet. We know that in order to make any permanent decisions about what happens to the property, the house, and the art, the first step is to acquire them. So that's why we're organizing as a nonprofit. We expect to get that process completed pretty soon, and then we'll start fundraising in earnest to raise the $18,000 to $20,000 that we need to cover the back taxes. And if we, working with the city and the county, if we can do that before next September, we should be able to acquire the entire property and all of the contents for that dollar amount. Once we do that, we've got a spectrum of options that we're looking at, and we're going to try and cost them out and see what's realistic. So obviously the dream would be, you know, we can preserve the house as a museum and the backyard as a sculpture garden and invite the public in and, you know, curate it and do all that. If that's beyond our means, you know, we've got another set of options that we're looking at. We may try and redistribute the sculpture around the neighborhood, set up a conservation fund to make sure that they're protected and make sure that they're publicly accessible throughout the neighborhood. It's part of what was already done as a previous project. We might expand on that. And then, you know, as far as the flat art that we're pulling out now, the paper, the drawings, the canvases, you know, try and get them into a publicly accessible gallery somewhere.
But how is it that if you don't own the building and you don't own the artworks that are coming out, how is it that you've been allowed to remove them from the building?
We've been working with the county treasurer, Adam Gallagher, who currently owns the property because it's owned by the county treasurer. He was picked up on back taxes. And we have made an arrangement with them, you know, that they retain ownership of all of the items that we're removing. We've identified the location to them, and they will continue to cover it under their liability insurance. So it's still the county's property until we work out a legal mechanism to transfer that ownership. Paul Davis Restoration, our consultant, is going to act as the custodian of that. If there's a situation where someone comes and wants to claim that abandoned property, they can talk to the county. We can identify exactly where it's located, it's safely stored, and we can transfer that as if we need to. Once the Friends of Sid Boyum own the art, then we can make some decisions about its permanent conservation.
Okay, Brian, I got to confess to you, I'm a material culturalist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not only interested in the artworks that will be removed,
yep.
but what about the everyday signs of life? What about objects that help us fill in the narrative about who he was? You roll your eyes because I know this has been a conversation,
I'm not rolling my eyes because of that. Because I mean, I agree it would be wonderful to preserve everything. We don't know if we can do that. So, you know, our first priority are the original irreplaceable items that were created by Sid or his family, Steve or Sebastian. So those are our very first priority, is to get those things protected because those are the things that can't be replaced under any circumstances. There's a lot of curios. There's a lot of knickknacks there. There's a lot of things in the house that may have some historic or curiosity or even monetary value. Those are things that we're going to try and make some decisions about too. You know, it's possible we may end up having an estate sale to sort of raise money for the conservation of it. We have this sort of spectrum or range of options that we want to look at. Part of that would be in, you know, protecting the entire environment, but that may be prohibitively expensive, in which case we may have to set our sights down a little lower and see what we can accomplish with the resources we have.
In your perfect world, what would you like to see for this house in the next, let's say, 5 years?
Oh, what I'd like to see is I'd like to see it acquired by a permanent nonprofit who can run the place as a museum, maybe have a caretaker's apartment inside the building, use the rest of it to preserve as much of the environment as is as practicable, with the art on display here, and run it as a museum in perpetuity. I mean, that would be the dream goal. Whether we get there or not, I don't know.
This is a lot of work you're taking on. This is a lot of work you're taking on with volunteers. You're certainly risking your health to some level. You know, masks are good, but at some point...
We're doing what we can.
You're doing what you can. What is it that, in the face of all this, it keeps that smile on your face? Why is this house so important to you?
You know, I think because it's an embodiment of what makes the east side of Madison so interesting. It's, you know, it's a place that has a history of people who just do things for no apparent reason. And certainly Sid Boyum fits into that category. I mean, if you look at the sculptures here and you look at the quantity of art that we've got sitting on the table here, this is a guy who was a little obsessed. And, you know, I think it's important to remember that stuff and honor it and to make sure that other people see it and to provide inspiration for the next Sid Boyum who comes along.
Material culture contributor Jennifer Fields curates the Radio Chipstone series. That project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education into the decorative arts.
This week, Fields spoke with Brian Standing, president of the Friends of Sid Boyum.